welcome in to the newest edition of the Just in Time Sports Podcast. I am your owner and host, Justin Jackson. And in this week's episode, we'll be talking about the NBA playoffs as we are roaring in our second round. We will touch on the NBA draft lottery. We'll also have a little WNBA. And as always, we'll sprinkle some other random sports in there as always. Don't forget to sit back, get ready to learn something. Also, follow the social media handle at JTimeSports. I repeat, at JTimeSports for all of your breaking news, coverage, updates, and etc. Now, as always, again, don't forget to sit back and get ready to learn something.
JTS. Yeah. Just in time sports.
Life is good. Life is good.
Look. This is Just in Time Sports. Come and get your weekly takes. His opinion from the heart. He can never show you fake. If you winning or you losing, he gon' tell it to you straight. How we talking basketball without a Jordan Brown debate? If you got the hottest takes, you better come and make your case. If you win a couple games, he might even show you grace. JTS on every platform, we growing adaptation. Numbers going off the charts, we create the separation. Louisiana till I die, it's where I'm from, I can't replace it. Some people minds are obtuse, but I like to be adjacent. Giving my opinion like I'm Nick Wright or I'm Jason. ESPN better watch out, cause I'm coming for the spaceship. We even tweeting on Twitter, you can meet us in the spaces. Highlight clips of sports news, yeah, you gotta embrace it. We never had it easy, we just came from the pavement. I might be controversial, but I like to make my statements. This is Just in Time Sports, come and get your weekly takes. His opinion from the heart, he can never show you fake. If you winning or you losing, he gon' tell it to you straight. This is Just in Time Sports, come and get your weekly takes. Come and get it. He gon' tell it to you straight,
Welcome into the show. Welcome into the newest edition of the Just in Time Sports Podcast. I am your owner and host, Justin Jackson. I am recording this on, Monday evening before the NBA Draft Lottery. So the NBA Draft Lottery is currently happening. You know, the reveal is, as the time of this recording, 7 minutes and 40 seconds away from being revealed. We will see the order of the picks. Pretty sure everyone knows this draft is the Cooper Flagg draft. He is the number one overall pick regardless of who gets the team. It literally does not matter who picks number one. It will be the Cooper Flagg draft. It's very reminiscent of 1984 with Michael Jordan. Very reminiscent of 1997 with Tim Duncan. 1992, 93 with Shaq. 2003 with LeBron, 2019 with Zion. You know, there are certain drafts, especially in the NBA, that the number one pick is decided. It's a matter of who gets it. So, like in the NBA, in the NFL, for it's not always the case. Jacksonville ended up number one. They weren't going to pick Cam Ward. They were probably going to draft Travis Hunter at number one or trade out of the pick. It's probably 3 or 4 and allow somebody else to get a quarterback and still try and get Travis Hunter on the back end. That's a much more likely situation in the NFL because it is so much team-based. In the NBA, you get the best player and you'll figure it out from there. Cooper Flagg is 6'10", long wing, can shoot the ball, explosive leaper. We've seen him dunk on people all season. Pretty good rebounder, good passer, above-average defender. He's going to be all-rookie. He's my rookie of the year. I won't even debate that. Like, it's going to be a situation where people are going to say, oh, could, like, this year, you know, Zachary Richardson to Atlanta and then Alexander Sarr to Washington. Neither one of those guys were dominant picks. There were no clear-cut number one overall picks. Atlanta ended up choosing Richardson and Stephon Castle in the winning rookie of the year. It's not going to be the case next year. Outside of, I think Cooper Flagg is easily the best player in the class. I also think that it's going to be a storyline for him to win it. So in order for somebody to come in and take it from him, it is going to require them to be considerably better than him. And I don't think anybody's going to be considerably better than Flagg. I honestly think Washington finally gets their guy. I don't think the NBA is going to reward Utah. I mean, they've been openly tanking for years. And Danny Ainge did it in Boston. But they've been openly tanking for years. Philly, I just don't think the basketball guys just don't love them like that. I don't. I think New Orleans, I don't think the NBA is going to want to stick another superstar in New Orleans, not through the draft. Now, if they make a trade for a Ja Morant or something like that, that's different. But do I think the NBA is going to just stick an elite talent like Cooper Flagg in New Orleans, where even at our, you know, and I'm a Pelicans fan, so I'm going to say even at our peak, we're 75% capacity, 80% capacity. You know, we're still not selling out games. The road team in a big game has more fans than us. Like, you know, stuff like that, right? So I don't think they're going to stick another superstar in New Orleans. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I would love Cooper Flagg, or at least the leverage of Cooper Flagg. Okay, I'm kidding. I would love Cooper Flagg. 6'10". Then Zion, you know, 6'6", and it's not as bad about a center, and Flagg's going to get you 6-7 rebounds from the door. And, you know, there's certain situations that can be helped with a guy like Cooper Flagg. He can space the floor. When you go quote-unquote small, there's still a 6'10 guy on the court, and Zion, of course. So there's benefits. Number two and number three, I think those picks become trade bait for a Memphis, who I think going to get a new coach. They're going to build around Jaren Jackson. They're going to get out of the Ja Morant business. I think us being in the Ja Morant business would suit us. And I think we'd move, at that point, we'd move what's left of DeJounte Murray out. And I'm trying to, you know, for lack of a term, I'm trying to stall a little bit, because I kind of want to discuss the lottery immediately when it happens. And then we'll get into the playoffs. And then, of course, we'll talk about the NFL today. We'll talk about the WNBA as well. Always interesting to see what teams. Wow, that'd be interesting. Houston gets the number one pick. That would be insane. Cooper Flagg mixed with that young team. And then you can still have the cap space to go get a superstar. That'll be crazy. Like, Giannis goes there, and you say Cooper Flagg is off the table, but everybody else is available. And it ends up being, you know, you make some package around 3 first round picks, 2 swaps, and you can start, and you know what I'm saying? Your starting five can be Sengun, Giannis, Flagg, Green probably gone, and Brooks, or something like that to make the money work. Mitch Johnson is the representative for the Spurs, the new head coach, the first head coach of the Spurs that not named Popovich since 1997. Masai Ujiri goes for the Raptors, not shocking. It's Masai. Jody Fernandez goes for the Nets. Who's the head coach of the Nets? Jared McCain, their first round pick from last season, goes this year for Philly. Zion is interesting, a choice for the Pelicans. He wears the polo. Terms of the Pelicans, very, very team mistake. He looks very svelte. I think that was a jewel situation, because it's in the playoffs. Usually at this point of the year, the big guy starts to get a little big, starts to get a little chunky. But he looks pretty svelte right now. He's a dad, so maybe the baby's keeping him up. The Hornets sent their head coach, Charles Lee. Wizards sent their first-round pick from last year, Bob Carrington, or their second first-round pick from last year. And then the Jazz sent co-owner Ashley Smith as their representative. Oh, man, it's getting dicey. About to see who ends up with the pick, man. The Cooper Flagg, because it's Cooper Flagg draft. Like I said, once the lottery is discussed, or once the lottery is announced, then I'm gonna talk about a couple of minutes how I see Flagg fitting on that team, because it's pretty much Cooper Flagg. Mark Tatum always does the lottery, who's the deputy commissioner and COO of the NBA, aka the next NBA actual commissioner. Okay. Here we go, man. I'm actually a little nervous. I guess Pelicans fan. So, yeah, Spurs keep 14. That wasn't shocking, because that's Atlanta's pick. So, unless he went top 4, that was going to stay 14. 13th pick, Atlanta from the Kings. Okay, no surprises here. Twelfth pick, Chicago. Again, no surprises here. Again, like these picks this low either have to go in top four or they have to stay where they are pretty much. Portland gets pick 11. So that means Dallas goes to top four. Wow. Because Portland gets 11. So Dallas is top four. Holy crap. Houston is now the 10th pick from Phoenix. Holy crap. Dallas is in the top four. Dallas has a chance at Cooper Flagg. This is massive. Toronto is pick 9. So Toronto sticks, which means San Antonio has to go in the top four. San Antonio's in the Cooper Flagg race. Holy mackerel. There's two spots left in the top four. Philly currently is keeping their pick. Brooklyn is pick 8. Brooklyn has high odds. But they stick and pick at 8. So they're going to be at 8. Ah, fuck. The Pelicans are 7. Crap. So that means somebody else took our spot in the top four. Because we were 4th. Man, we're 7th? The Wizards are 6th. That means Philly's in the top 4. Holy mackerel. Philly has a chance at Cooper Flagg. Whoa. New Orleans is 7? That hurts. Cooper Flagg smiled at Philly. Utah is 5. So that means the Hornets. So Utah, with their shameless tanking, ends up at 5. New Orleans at 7. That hurts. Which, New Orleans actually, in the pain, with the pain with New Orleans is the fact that they are actually a pretty good team. They were just always injured, you know. So yeah, my Pelicans group chat is pissed that my Pelicans group chat is pissed they were 7. 7's insane. We went from 4 to 7. That hurts. But now Philly has a chance to get now 7 actually is not bad for Memphis. And again, I'm going to speak selfishly here, and this podcast is going completely differently than what I would have expected it. So I guess I'll run through some of the playoff series while I was on commercial break. Kind of want to break all these down individually. I'll wait. And it's, you know, this is kind of one of those live podcast moments. I wish I was doing this live. It'd be a little more smooth and flowing. I'm kind of the person to bounce this off of. But I guess I'll bring you a little behind the scenes in this situation. So the NBA playoffs are going well. You have a lot. This has been the most entertaining playoffs I've seen in a long time, right? So we're going to talk about that first. We're going to touch on the NFL, then we'll do best for last, which would be the WNBA. But this has been the most interesting playoffs I've seen in a long time. Basketball had a problem at the start of the year. Their season started, no one cared. And then you got to Christmas, and Christmas is genuinely the kickoff point for the NBA. Okay, it's the unofficial start of the season. The NFL, all my life until maybe 2 years ago, has seeded Christmas. So once Christmas hit, like unless Christmas was on a Sunday or a Saturday, they would seed Christmas to the NBA. The NBA would be, it'd be 5 mega games, and it'd be Kobe versus LeBron. It'd be Kevin Durant versus the Spurs. It'll be, trying to think of stars of yesteryear. The Clippers would play the Knicks and Carmelo. You would get, you know what I'm saying, back when it's the Big Three Heat days, the Heat would play the Lakers. Like, you would get these matchups to where you would almost have no choice but to watch Christmas Day, because if you didn't watch Christmas Day, you missed one of the greatest matches of the season. And again, it was the unofficial start to the season, so that was the way people said it. So when we got to Christmas, the ratings were still down. Now, I started watching around Thanksgiving, and I thought the basketball was great. And it wasn't just the fact that I was watching LeBron game. I thought I was gonna think a LeBron game was great, even though it's stressful for me. I'm only gonna think a LeBron game was great. I thought the basketball was great. I thought that we're shooting too many threes. But I think I'm also being of the younger generation. I just turned 28. I think being in that age group and understanding why these things are happening helps. So I understand, you know, that we're shooting so many threes because analytics has a bunch of smart guys sat in a room, did some math, and they discovered that a mid-range jump shot has all the risk of a three with none of the benefit of a three. So why would I take a shot that I'm going to make at 40, let's say 3% for 2 points, when I'm going to take a shot at 41 or 42% for 3 points? You know, and that is the level of, I guess, talent. I guess that's not talent. That's the level of math and what's happening with the NBA. So you have people that struggle watching the modern game. They struggle watching the modern game because the post-up is dead. The post-up is dead because, again, that shot is worth about 1.1 points a shot. For a really, really good post-up player, you get an efficiency of about 1.1. If you count their passing, a really good post-up player gets you about 1.2. A average post-up player in the NBA gets you about 0.8, 0.9. An average three in the NBA is 1.5. So those, because they make about 40-ish, 42-ish percent. So a lot of that stuff, a lot of those stuff is being analytic taken out of the game. The pick and roll for the mid-range jump shot is a horrible shot in the NBA, right? It is a terrible shot in the NBA analytically. So no one shoots it. You might get 3 or 4 mid-range shots a game. That's why those guys who are quote-unquote mid-range merchants eat, because no one ever guards mid-range shot. Drop coverage gives that shot up. Even hard hedging gives that shot up in the modern NBA. All right, back to the lottery. Holy crap. All right. Number four is the Hornets. They are out of the Cooper flag race. Number four is the Hornets. Wow. So somebody who was not supposed to be there is going to get Cooper flag. This is wild. Philly gets three. Either San Antonio or Dallas is going to get Cooper flag. If it's Dallas, oh my God, the Dallas Mavericks have landed Cooper flag. Oh my God. The gamble of all gambles have just paid off. So when the trade went down for Luka Doncic, they were looking for another star to replace him. Oh, dear God, the Mavericks have Cooper Flagg. The management is pointing to Cooper Flagg. He's a Maverick. Get used to being in Dallas. Oh, my God. The Dallas Mavericks had a 1.80% chance to win the lottery, and they won the Cooper Flagg lottery. Wow. I mean, wow. That's all I can say right now. It's wow. This is not a good day for the NBA. And actually, before I get into the playoffs and I get into NBA history and I get into what I was going to break down, and you can tell my energy has shifted, and it shifted quickly, and this is a bad day for the NBA. This is probably the worst day the NBA's had in 12 months. The team that notoriously traded, infamously traded, Luka Doncic, a 25-year-old, 5-time All-NBA. If he retired today, he's an easy basketball Hall of Famer. 5-time All-NBA, 6-time All-Star. He's won a couple Eurobaskets, been Eurobasket MVP. Or EuroLeague MVP, my apologies. If he retired today, he's a basketball Hall of Famer. He can never play dribble basketball again. He's made hundreds of millions of dollars from the small country of Slovenia. They traded that man to the Los Angeles Lakers for what everybody saw was a very small. I mean, Anthony Davis is worth it. But Anthony Davis is notoriously healthy. He's 31 years old. He's probably got 4 good years left. And I'm being nice, right? Max Christie what was, you know what I'm saying, Max Christie, some other stuff, and then one first round pick. That team entered the night with 1.8% odds to win the finals, to win the lottery. 1.8. And they won. Not only did they win, they didn't win like last year's lottery, where it's like, okay, you get Zachary Rizacher, or you get Alexander Saar, whatever. Like, good players, I'm sure, but no specialties. You get the no doubt slam dunk, number one pick. This is a bad day for the NBA because not everyone's going to scream rigged. Even if you're an NBA supporter, you're looking at this like, Like in 2019, the NBA gained nothing. Well, 2019, it felt that way. And it benefited me, but in 2019, it felt that way. Anthony Davis pieces up New Orleans to go to LA. New Orleans get the Zion pick. The Mavericks inexplicably trade Luka Doncic, and Dallas gets the Cooper Flagg pick. This is frozen envelope. This is LeBron stays in Cleveland. LeBron's at the Pat McAfee show. Yeah, the superstar from Akron stays in Cleveland. Like, I'm saying, there's just certain moments. This is not a good day for the NBA. This is bad. Like, this is one of those moments that in 10 years, you're gonna, you're gonna look at this one. And so Dave McMenamin is tweeting about how he was in the lottery room in 08 when the Bulls won with a 1.7% chance in 2008 for Derrick Rose, who's from Chicago. It's just as bad as Dallas was. So now if you're Dallas, it still looks bad. And Dave McMenamin's, you know, he's an ESPN guy, he's a basketball guy. He's already jumping on saying, save your conspiracy theories. Okay. Now, if you're Dallas, what do you do with Kyrie Irving? Because now, if I'm Dallas, if I'm Nico Harrison, I'm gutting it. I ship AD. I ship Kyrie. I'm gutting it to the brass tacks. Or I may not gut it. Wow, Dallas has both number one overall picks. They get the WNBA overall pick and Paige Beckers, and the NBA overall number one overall pick and Cooper Flagg. Okay, that's pretty cool. But, like, Nico Harrison is now have to thread a needle because Cooper Flagg tomorrow, or even next year, is not going to help you win a title. Like, he'll start, I'm sure. But, like, he's 13 points a night on 40-some% shooting. It's just that he's just the number one overall pick. Plus, if Kyrie Irving's healthy, if AD's healthy, he's the third option on the floor. How is he playing off those guys? I'm saying I would make a move on Kyrie or AD. One of them has to go and start the Cooper Flagg process. But not a great day for the NBA. Great day for the Mavs, you know, and they didn't look all that surprised. Great day for the Mavs. And like I said, it feels like the Mavs were handed a thank you for facilitating the Luka Doncic trade. It is what it is. I ain't afraid to say it. I don't work at ESPN. It feels like the NBA finished the Luka trade. So now the full Luka trade details is Anthony Davis, Max Christie, that other person, a first round pick, and Cooper Flagg. I mean, that's like, you know, now it's like, oh, okay, now that's legitimate at compensation. But hey, the NBA did it. Yeah, the draft lottery's done. Congrats, Dallas Mavericks, on winning the draft lottery, even though I feel like you won it 3-4 months ago. All right, now getting into what I want to start this show with. The NBA is in the playoffs, and currently the series, Oklahoma City 2-2 with the Denver Nuggets. Again, this is entering Friday's games. Minnesota's up 2-1 on the Timberwolves. Minnesota's up 2-1 on the Warriors. They'll play tonight. Cavs are down 1-3 to the Pacers. They'll play tomorrow when you guys hear this. And the Knicks are up 2-1 on the Celtics. They're about to play actually in a couple of minutes. But at this time of year, everybody wants to know who's going to win. Who's going to win? Who's the betting favorite? Who would you take? It's simple. The two teams with a chance to win the NBA title are as followed: the Boston Celtics and the Denver Nuggets. those are the only two teams in the NBA that can win the NBA title. But Justin, what about New York? New York's up 2-1. You know, Pacers, they look great. We'll get into them. Sure. But over the course of human history, and this is my NBA draft theory, and I would actually love to clip this out at some point, make a mental note of this, 25-30. In the course of NBA history, there has been three ways to win the NBA title. That way has been to one of the following three. You either have the best player on the planet, which is the most popular way. Think about the last 75 years. Bill Russell. The 70s are weird, but if I went through the 70s titles, I'd probably get to this conclusion too. Bill Russell, Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, you know, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal, more recently, Stephen Curry, KD, like you, Giannis, Jokic, you have Dirk. At the end of the run, you have the best player on the planet. The only one that's arguable over the last 75 years, again, 70s titles notwithstanding, is Dirk. You can argue Dirk, and I will argue back. He beat Kevin Durant in the Thunder, Kobe Bryant in the Lakers, and LeBron James in the Heat in back-to-back-to-back series. So if you want to argue that he ain't the best player in the world, by all means, do what you got to do. But his next best player on his team was either Jason Terry, J.J. Barea, or Jason Kidd. But hey, if you want to argue the fact that he ain't the best player in the world, do what you got to do. All right, so that's way number one, best player. Method number two is to have two of the top 10 players. See those big three Heat. We actually, they kind of fall in all the categories, but see those big three Heat. See Shaq and Kobe. See those great tandems, Scotty and Jordan. And usually if you're two of the top 10, one of them is really, really close to one. Or you have three of the top 25. Now, this is those Spurs teams. Maybe Tim Duncan wasn't the best guy. And Tony Parker wasn't maybe top 10, but him and Joe were both top 20. Think about Bird, McHale, and Parrish. Think about Magic, Worthy, and Kareem. Think about Jordan, Pippen, Rodman. Think about LeBron, Wade, Bosh. Think about Jokic, Murray, and Gordon. But again, a lot of those trios still have the best player. Bill Russell, whoever you want to put beside Bill Russell. But again, a lot of those trios had the best player or close to the best player. And then the trio kind of put it over the top. But that is the way that you win in the NBA. You either win with the best player, two of the top 10, or three of the top 25. The three of the top 25 being the rarest one because you kind of need that dog at a certain point to carry you. So a lot of those trios had a top three-ish player in their mix. But that is the way, simply, that you win the NBA. So let's go through the teams left in the playoffs. Oklahoma City. Does Oklahoma City have the best player in the NBA? No, they don't. Do they have two of the top 10? No, they don't. Do they have three of the top 25? No, they don't. Oklahoma City cannot win the title. Denver has the best player in the league in Nikola Jokic. Denver can win the NBA title. Minnesota has a very high player in Anthony Edwards, but he's not the best player. And I don't even know who their second best player is. Nonetheless, none of them are top 10 or top 25. So, no, they can't win the title. Warriors, again, Steph Curry is really high. Do you feel Jimmy Butler is a top 10 player? No. Now, they can make the case for top 25 with Draymond and Jimmy, and I would allow you to make that case. If you want to tell me the Warriors can win the title because of Steph, Draymond, and Jimmy, those are three top 25 players, I would allow you to make that argument. The problem is the best guy is out. He's injured. So I kind of pull them out of the mix. But if you want to tell me that those are three top 25 players and they can win the title, therefore, I will allow you to make that case. Cleveland, outside of being down 3-1, they don't have a top 10 player on the roster. Like, Donovan Mitchell could be it, maybe, but if it's him, Who's your another top 10 guy? Nobody. Okay. Who's your top 25 guy? Is it Mobley or Garland? It's not both. So therefore, Cleveland cannot win the title. Indiana Pacers, don't make me laugh. The New York Knicks, their best player is shorter than me. I love Jalen Brunson, but he's not a top 10 player. Him and Kat, they're not top 10 players. And then him, Kat, OG and Anobi are not top 25 players, all of them. And then Boston, of course, they have Tatum and Brown. To me, two top 10 players. And if you want to expand it further, they have Tatum, Brown, Porzingis, and Drew. They might have four of the top 30. And that's not even talking about Derek White. So that's why I looked at Denver and Boston as the only two teams to win the title based on the course of human history, or based on the course of NBA history, with a Warriors caveat if they were to get out of this round due to Steph's injury. Because they could also do it, like I say, with Steph, Butler, and Draymond. But let's get into these series. Oklahoma City and Denver, to me, is the most entertaining series, the most fun series. These games have come, I mean, game two was a blowout. But other than that, these games have come down to the wire. They have come down to battles late every single time between these two. The two MVP candidates, and neither one of them are playing well, like, at all. I mean, it is pretty eye-opening how these teams are shooting the ball as of late. You got Jokic struggling a lot. You've got Shea struggling a lot. It's been a lot of role players. Like, we watched game four. Man, game four was bad, man. Game four was rough. Game four, at one point, the teams were a combined 2-for-36 from three. The Nuggets shot 19% for a vast majority of the first half. They only kept the game close due to free throws. And it was just one of those situations where, like, it was bad basketball. A lot of bricks. They had more air balls in the first half between the two teams than made threes. It was rough. In the second half, play picked up a little bit. And then you got to a good crunch time ending. And it was a pretty solid end of the game. But this series is interesting. Again, in order for my theory to hold true, Denver has to win this series. I'm going to go with Denver to win this series. If I had to put an NBA Finals exact bet, I would go Denver and Boston. Those are just my two teams that I just, like I said, the only two teams to me, based on the course of human history and NBA history, that can win the NBA title is Boston and Denver. All right, so Minnesota and Warriors, the Steph Curry hamstring series. For the first time in the history, second time in the Warriors' history, this modern history, injuries have killed them. Of course, you remember the Kawhi championship in Toronto. Boogie Cousins called it like the Hunger Games. Who's next? Like, who's next going to fall? Kevin Durant pops the Achilles. Klay Thompson pops the ACL. At one point, DeMarcus Cousins, he's down. Like, they're just so beat up. In that Toronto Raptors series, they were absolutely brutalized with injury. At one point, when Klay's down, Steph is sitting on the ground crying. Like, it's just like there's nothing else they could have possibly done. And then this is the second time. So this team was built as kind of the last ride team. Draymond Green, reportedly, whenever they traded for Jimmy Butler, called Steph and said, "Hey, like, this is our last shot at it. Like, we're gonna go for it now. You know, I know we're the 10th seed or whatever, but with Jimmy on the team, we're gonna go for it now." And so that's pretty much what they decided to do. And then Steph Curry hobbles and grabs his hamstring. Now, people will say that it is due diligence, it is comeuppance for the Warriors, because they, all four of their titles, have a major injury asterisk at some point, usually to a point guard, in their dynastic run, is that they get the benefit of the injury almost undoubtedly and unfairly every single time. They get the benefit of the injury, so that is kind of a sad situation for Steph, who's reportedly crying, holding his hamstring in the locker room, because he wanted to keep playing. It was the playoffs. They had built up this run in their heads where they were going to go and just one last time go try and win it. And it looks like they wouldn't even get the chance to with Steph's hamstring. The Cleveland Cavaliers and the Indiana Pacers. The shocking series in the NBA, especially how it's been happening. The Pacers are just mauling the Cleveland Cavaliers. And the Cavs had injury issues between Garland and Hunter and Mobley, especially in game two. None of those guys I mentioned played, even though Cleveland probably should have won game two. Even though none of those guys I mentioned just played, Cleveland definitely should have won game two. And if they had won game two, this is a whole different series. The series is 2-2 instead of 3-1. And then I also want to speak about how the Indiana Pacers, to me, or the Indiana Pacers, not even to me, they're a 60-win team. The Pacers started off horrible. But then after like the first like 14 game, oh no, first 20-ish games of the season, the Pacers were a 60-pace win team. And when you, good Lord, Derek White. Derek White hit his first three threes. I got the Pacers in the Knicks game on. I mean, Knicks and the Celtics game on. But whenever you have a team like Indiana, they were in the conference finals just last season. Right, and so people kind of had high expectations of them. Then they lost early, a lot early, and so people kind of ignored them. And being in Indiana, it's pretty easy to ignore. And so people kind of ignored them, kind of brushed them off. And now they're up 3-1 on the one seed. Now it's not a healthy one seed; it's a one seed that is nicked up. But it's the playoffs. You know, excuses don't exist. You have to produce. And so. You know, congrats to the Pacers for holding a 3-1 lead. And then Knicks and Celtics. So this is a series that not as shocking as Pacers and Cavs nationally. But the best player on the Celtics, hell, the second best player on the Celtics, probably better than the best player on the Knicks. And it's not from lack of talent, it's from lack of size. Jason Tatum and Jalen Brunson do a lot of the same stuff. The problem is Jason Tatum is 6'8", 6'9", and Jalen Brunson is 6'1". And that's being very generous on the 6-1. I think this series is going to go 7. I think it's going to end up in Boston for game 7. Neither one of these teams seem like they want to run a home game. And I think that the Knicks, you know, bow their backs, get game 5 in Madison Square Garden, in Boston Garden. The Celtics come back in Madison Square Garden and get game 6. And then all bets are off for a game 7. It's the most dangerous, it's the most fun two words in sports. Game 7, but it is fun. Boston is living and dying by the 3. They shot badly from 3 in the first two games. They lost. They shot pretty good from 3 last game. They won. So they're going to live and die by the 3. The Knicks have to continue to just pound them inside. Make their open 3s when they get them, because eventually Boston's going to start crashing. So make your open 3s when you get them. And that is how the Knicks will win this series. But up next, we're going to shift to the NFL and talk about what's going on with the Shield. Welcome back into the show. Welcome into the NFL part of the show, as we are firmly at the end, actually, of rookie minicamp. We've got our first look at rookies in jerseys. We've got, you know, Shedeur Sanders in 12 orange. We've got Scataboo in like 44 white and blue. We've got Abdul Carter in 51. Travis Hunter in his teal 12. I mean, it looks fun, right? It looks pretty cool. All those stars, especially because they were the first stars of the EA. They were the first stars of the expanded playoff. To see them on the NFL is pretty cool, not going to lie. But we had quarterback news before we really dive into minicamp. Derek Carr, after 11 seasons, has decided to retire from the NFL. The reason being is he was suffering from a labral issue and a degenerative rotator cuff. So outside of having to get surgery in order to fix said labor issue, was probably gonna knock him out for the season, his rotator cuff is degenerating. So being able to play football as well as he would like was going to be virtually impossible, and because of which he decided to walk away. Now that kind of helps both sides. For Derek, he gets to keep his $10 million signing bonus and roster bonus. However, he decided to forego and give, I guess, basically rip up the $30 million guaranteed. He was supposed to be getting next season, allowing the Saints for instant cap relief. Now, they don't get the whole $30 million in one season. It's divided out half and half. But for a team that constantly, and I do mean constantly, every single year, find themselves north of negative $40 million a year in cap space, I'm being nice and saying 40 instead of 70, instantly creating $16 million is golden. I mean, $16 million is two players. I mean, that $16 million is at least a player and a half. And so just rolling out of bed basically and collecting $16 million is huge for a team that is struggling and that is going to need all of the cap it could get in order to build a team around whoever the hell the quarterback is. But it also raised levels of concern for the New Orleans Saints not picking a Shedeur Sanders, has apparently been crushing Browns minicamp. The reporters will tell you that. The Browns social media page will tell you that. They are openly posting a lot of Shedeur content. Now, I will preface that by saying Shedeur is the ultimate cash cow right now, especially for that rookie class. So if I had an option between posting Dylan Gabriel, who many of the fans hooed, and Shedeur Sanders, who many of the fans cheered scoringly about, I'm going to post Shedeur Sanders. Now, it also backs what local media has been saying. Local media has been saying that it ain't close. Like, just watching them put on shoulder pads, jog out to the field, take the ball from center, and throw it, it's not close. It's Shedeur Sanders. Which, you knew that already. Dylan Gabriel's clips on Twitter, for the most part, is great defensive plays. It's a pick. It's a bat down. It's something defensive, and he's the quarterback. So it's a very concerning sign when a lot of your quarterback stuff is an interception or it's a bat down. It's a great defensive play. In other rookie news, the Cincinnati Bengals do not have any, and I repeat, any of their rookies into minicamp. Reason why is 31 of 32 teams have a clause that's basically, if we draft you and you don't have your contract by the time camp start, we're going to protect you, probably with guarantees, you know, or whatever, just trade deposits. We're going to protect you from having to deal with so much of the system. We're going to protect you without you having to worry about an injury. You can just play football. You don't have to worry about, like, oh, I can't twist my knee. Oh, I got to sit out. Or whatever. 31 teams have that clause, except for the Bengals. The Bengals are the only team in the NFL to not have effectively an insurance policy on all the draft picks, because you're going to logically need one for all draft picks. And so having that just handy would be incredibly beneficial. But regardless, the Bengals need to come with the times. Man, like, we are way past not having rookies in for language that's inappropriate. George Pickens is headed to the Dallas Cowboys in exchange for a third-round pick, and they swapped late-round picks. This makes them incredibly interesting. This makes them incredibly dangerous. I think it also makes them a bit of a powder keg. You've got CeeDee Lamb. You've got, you know, Dak Prescott's ego. You've got George Pickens. Pickens has not been traded yet. If I am the Dallas Cowboys, I would have had that deal in place before. I would have had that deal in place before Pickens arrived in camp, or before Pickens the trade, before Pickens becomes official. That just makes it easy for me. I would have had that deal in place. Whether that extension was going to be what it was, I wouldn't have made the trade without it, because now, okay, do I think you're going to lose him? No, I don't think you're going to lose him. I don't think you're going to lose him at all. Do I think it makes it interesting? Yes, I think it adds unnecessary complication. Now, you basically traded him for a compensatory pick. So if he walks out of the door, you probably end up getting a third-round pick for him in the compensatory draft. or you probably gonna get a compensatory third round pick for him. So, eh, but again, I think they have visions of Chase trying to give Dak every weapon on the planet. And I think that it is counterproductive to not have the deal in place. But just like not having a deal in place, Pittsburgh Steelers have no deal in place for a quarterback. At the moment, it is a lot of I don't even know who's. Aaron Rodgers seems to be dying out. No word they're going to make a move on Kirk Cousins. They decided to not draft the quarterback at all in the NFL draft, in my recollection. No one in the first six rounds. And so they're just, you know, they're just out here. I don't know what they're doing. Trying to tank, trying to rebuild. I don't know. Mike Tomlin's not a tanking coach. He's going to win 9 games from existing. But it is definitely not going to make his job much easier. But up next, we're going to talk about the WNBA and talk about what's going down there. Welcome back into the show. And now I want to talk about the WNBA as the W returns this Friday for the regular season. They open us up actually with a triple header of games. Did me charge me correctly? So the Liberty closed the preseason out tonight. Yeah, triple header on Ion. So you're either going to get... So the 6:30 slot's either going to be, which I live in Louisiana, so hopefully I get this game, the home debut of the NBA regular season debut of Paige Beckers against the Minnesota Lynx, who are fresh off a title contending level run with Nafisa Collier. Or you'll get Atlanta Dream with their new big three, Ryan Howard, Brittany Griner, and I cannot think of a third person. And then the DC Mystics, who are going to be the Oklahoma City Thunder in a couple years. So much young talent on that team. And then everyone across the country is going to get Friday night the debut of the Valkyrie. The Golden State Valkyrie will host the Los Angeles Sparks at 9 p.m. Central on Friday. So everyone is going to get that game, which I am not shocked at all. And then there's a triple header, a correct triple header on Saturday when the ABC network picks it up. Aces and Liberty. The two best teams in the league will square off, in my opinion. The two best players in the league, although Nafisa Collier would have a conversation about that, and Brianna Stewart and Asia Wilson will play each other as well. But they'll play at noon on Saturday. Not sure what I'm doing Saturday, but WNBA is going to be high on that list. And then right after them, the battle that made everyone watch women's basketball. Say what you want. It's Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese. It is Fever versus Sky. And that is at 2:00. And I'm sure whether that's in Chicago with the Wintrust Arena or that's in Indiana at the Pacers home. I think it's at the Pacers home right now. Barring NBA conflict. But... you know, that is going to be a game. Like I said, that got the entire league, got the entire world watching. Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese. You picked the side, you picked it early. And so, you know, the women's college basketball rating spiked with those two. The championship game spiked with those two. The draft lottery spiked with those two. The draft spiked with those two. Both of their games had some of the highest ratings of the season. Caitlin, I think, had most of the high ratings. Angel sprinkled in some with Chicago. And then, of course, Jason Tatum. And then, of course, you had the Liberty and the Aces and et cetera all sprinkled in as well. WNBA is back. I do think they still have some issues with their functional governing. As far as I think their marketing sucks, I think their marketing budget probably has to suck. All right, at this point, the Celtics are taking bad threes and they're still going in. Literally, the one Peyton Pritchard just shot Deuce McBride hand is up before he even thinks about shooting, and he still makes it. But you know, there's a lot of stuff wrong with the functional ability of the W, but it's grown a lot in the past couple of years, and they're a mainstream league. It's a lot of times, and Tatum shot a step back 27 footer. So the Boston Celtics in a minute and 12 seconds scored about 12 points on four straight threes. Tatum hits three, and then Peyton Pritchard hits another. And it goes from New York up 28-27 with about a minute and some change left to Boston 39-28 with end of the first quarter. So blitzkrieg. But ultimately, which the phrase means lightning war, blitzkrieg. But ultimately, I'm trying to thought there. Sorry, the Celtics kind of jacked me up with that one. But ultimately, the WNBA is, like I said, they're trying to grow as this mainstream league, kind of as the plane is built. Because you had a year to prepare. But even as the biggest of WNBA fans, I didn't see that coming. I didn't see where they're going to sell out NBA arenas on a regular basis. And every time Keelan Clark comes to town, they're going to have to move their game to the NBA arena because they're going to sell it out regardless of the team she's playing. Indiana's the home team everywhere they go. Like, it's a wild situation. And Chicago was getting that love from other teams, too. Like, the Chicago played Washington. They had to move it to the Wizards arena. Like, you know, it's pretty crazy. So, but they're dealing with it. They're figuring it out. Luckily, expansion's coming around this time. Trying to get some of those more talented players in. So, expansion's coming in. But all in all, it should be fun. They're setting up for a hell of a draft class in 26 as well. So this should be entertaining. But congratulations to the WNBA on becoming a mainstream sport. I will give my picks for the major awards. My WNBA champion is the Las Vegas Aces. I think Asia Wilson gets back on top. Because of which, I think my MVP is either Asia Wilson or Caitlin Clark. And I say Asia Wilson is my real pick, but I think they're going to, if Indiana has a good season, Caitlin's going to win MVP. My rookie of the year is obviously Paige Beckers, and my DPOY is going to be Asia Wilson. I think Caitlin's going to win MVP, and they're going to give Asia DPOY as kind of a consolation prize, even though I do think Asia Wilson is the best defender in the entire WNBA. Again, Nafisa Collier would have something to say about that. If the W has a most improved, that I think is Angel Reese. She just looks like a different player after Unrivaled, which was huge for a lot of the players' development. But that is all I have for you guys today. I hope you guys enjoy these night of playoff games. Like I said, you guys will hear this Tuesday morning, I'm sorry, so you'll know what happens tonight. I guess I'll pick it real fast. The way Boston's shooting, give me Boston and Minnesota. Boston ties it up. Minnesota takes 3-1 lead and all but ends the series. As it will head back to Minnesota for game 5. So that's my prediction as it sits. But we'll see what happens tonight, right? That's why they play the games. But anyway, this is your host, Justin Jackson. Thank you for rocking out with me. Signing out.